Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The election in the United Kingdom on July 4th. I welcome Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, a member of the Commonwealth and Australian National, observing from inside the Commonwealth the results of the election and what it means for the Commonwealth, for Europe, and especially for the United States. I begin with the results. Gregory, a very good day to you. I read from your reporting that Labour triumphant with more seats than in living memory, more than 400. And yet their national vote count was only 2% better than the last time when they were soundly beaten by Tories. That was a party led by Jeremy Corbyn, the infamous anti-Semite and confrontational leader. Now they're led by Keir Starmer, whom I'm told has no particular profile other than the word change, a human rights attorney, a man of, as they said of Mr. Attlee, modest man with much to be modest about, and yet he now leads a powerful party. So this disconnect, Labour didn't get that many more votes to account for more than 400 seats. What happened? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, yes, it's one of these current reflections we're having both in France and the United Kingdom and elsewhere on the meaning of democracy. If you can lose the popular vote in many respects and still gain enormous power, what does that say about the will of the people? But Sir Keir Starmer, not a human rights lawyer, he was director of public prosecutions, which is a state position, before he quit and went into politics. So he's basically a career lawyer. And in fact, what he did was appoint a cabinet in which there are three or four lawyers, but none of the cabinet has any experience whatsoever in running businesses or meeting a payroll. So it's very interesting that, like the Australian government, they are totally without knowledge and understanding of what it takes to create jobs and to keep people employed and to stimulate the economy. So this is going to be very critical for the United Kingdom at this stage. As well, you've got a cast of cabinet members who are singularly modest in their capabilities, far more modest than Sir Keir. Sir Keir himself is quite articulate and decent fellow, but you've got the Deputy Prime Minister, Angela Rayner, who still has some questionable financial activities hanging over her head. You've got the new Foreign Secretary, David Lammy, who is basically inarticulate and without any real knowledge of diplomacy or the world. You've got the new Secretary of State for Defence, John Healey, who, although all of these people are genuinely decent people, but John Healey, as the Secretary of Defence, his only experience in defence was acting as the government, the opposition rather, spokesman on defence for some years, but he's never really had any experience in business or in defence personally. So you've got a fairly uninspiring cabinet, and you mentioned that that Labour had basically had in this election had great success north of the border in Scotland, basically sweeping the Scottish Nationalist Party, the pro-independence party, from Westminster. There's only about, I think, four or six SNP members of the Parliament in Westminster still surviving with this, and Labour has taken up a lot of the slack in Scotland. And that may be a good thing for the United Kingdom, because it really tamps down this independence movement, which the SNP, which is a radical left party, had been pushing. The SNP still controls the Scottish state parliament, but but doesn't have so much influence now in Westminster. You also saw with this election where the newly created, literally a month before the election, electoral campaign of Reform UK under Nigel Farage took off like a rocket. It had only won 5 seats in the election. They've now got a sixth one coming as a Tory MP has decided to defect to Reform. So that they'll only have like 5, 6, maybe they'll get up to 7 as they get defections coming in. Members of this particular parliament, but they took an enormous amount of the vote, and they did so within a few weeks, literally, of the election. They built this momentum, particularly on social media, and they came second in so many electorates throughout the country that people are saying, well, if you look at the number of votes they had, they really should have displaced the Conservative Party as the main opposition party in the new parliament. Nonetheless, we'll still see a huge amount of pressure and vigor, and if you like, a de facto leadership of the opposition by Nigel Farage as he tries to hold the new government accountable for illegal immigration in particular, and even legal immigration issues, which are the main concerns right now of many Britons. What we're seeing, though, is that the overwhelming vote for Labour as government, because they had 411 seats, which is a massive majority, an absolute majority, so they don't need any coalition partners, they will now preside over 5 years of static behaviour, with probably a worsening immigration situation, but they will not be dynamic and creative in the areas of defence and foreign affairs, leaving a lot of that, the national unity issues and the projection of British image abroad to the King. Which is fine, because even during Rishi Sunak's period as the Conservative Prime Minister in the last year or so, it's been the King who's carried the torch of British unity and projected British revival on the world stage. So that's going to be an interesting situation. And right now, of course, we're seeing Sir Keir, who will go and represent Britain at the NATO summit, which began today in Washington, D.C.
I want to press on the matter of Labour and defence. My general reading of Labour is that since the end of the Second War, the national government in 1945, Labour has never been keen on defence, has never been associated with foreign policy. But my memory is very spotty on this. I didn't follow all the nationalist upsets of the 50s and 60s, so I really don't know if Labour is an outlier here or not when it comes to sovereignty and the empire. How is it regarded in general? Does this have a faction within it that is comfortable with the military, both Navy and Army?
Yes, it still has the ultra-left faction, which is uncomfortable with the military, but more and more, the mainstream Labour is comfortable with defence. It's taken on defence as a national duty, and I don't think we're going to see any major reversals of key defence spending programs initiated by the Conservatives, but I think we will not see a strong interest in increasing defence spending or in the deployment of UK forces globally, except where treaty obligations have already been set in stone, such as with the AUKUS, Australia-UK, US treaty, where the UK has obligations to Australia, for example, in cooperation on nuclear-powered submarines. So I think they'll continue with that, but I don't see any creative thinking at all on defence by Labour. As I say, I think we're in for 5 wasted years in which the United Kingdom situation will not get better economically or with regard to social unrest due to the massive, and I mean massive, immigration crisis which the government, the last government and this government now face.
A note about conservatives, the Tories. Is there one explanation for this failure? The people who supported them in 2019 turning so far away that it's unimaginable that the Tories could ever be successful again. I know they will, but it's hard to imagine. Is there one thing the Tories did wrong?
Well, they were tone deaf. They became, once again, the party of London, as the Labour Party is. They're not representing the country as a whole. And the voters that they won in 2019, they lost in 2024 because they ignored the issue of illegal immigration and British sovereignty. 2019 was a vote about demanding that Britain absolutely instigate the full measure of Brexit, the British removal from the European Union. And the government didn't complete that. And particularly at the end, we saw Rishi Sunak's government absolutely ignoring that, even though it was quite clear that illegal immigration and issues of the British participation in the European Court of Human Rights and other institutions was really something the British voters wanted to get rid of. So the Labour voters who switched to Conservative in 2019 switched back to Labour, and a lot of them switched over to the, if you like, really Conservative Reform UK party, although it's now looking like Reform is not, if you like, a right-wing or conservative party, in as much as it is a more representative party of the nationalist population, people who want their country to resume its role in the world and to resume control over its own economy. So it's a very interesting situation. So now we have literally a parliamentary situation in which it's about a five-way juggle between main political groups. It's not a binary situation such as you have in the United States as it was for a long time in the UK between, say, Labour and the Conservatives or the Liberals and the Conservatives. It's now a five-way match in which the rising star, because of the number of votes it received and the dynamism of its nationalist agenda, is Reform UK under Nigel Farage. And we're going to see that playing out. Right. And it's, again, I think, time to stop using the old shibboleths of right wing and the like, and nationalist as though it were a pejorative. It's ironic that the current globalist agenda has the word nationalism as being a pejorative, when basically it implies a patriotism toward your own country and its own responsibility to care for its people.
Speaking with Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs. What's in it for the U.S. when we come back? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.